Honor and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the pastor, to the members, saints of this church. I thank you for allowing me to stand before you again on this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. As he had mentioned, the pastor had mentioned, my sermon topic today is, of course, what's in a name. I would like to share with you what God has given me, and I pray that it blesses you as it had blessed me. Amen. Now, you'll find this sermon in the book of Luke, or the scripture in the book of Luke. I'm asking for your prayers today, that I pray that when you walk away, you will walk away knowing a little bit more than you did yesterday. Amen. And that you'll walk away with something that will give you the faith, the power, the strength to continue in Christ Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn again to the book of Luke, chapter 22. And I pray that this scripture is posted on in the service. And we're going to read from 31 down to 34. Amen. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." And Simon, of course, responded, and he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both unto prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee," Jesus talking to Peter, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and speaking of this word. I thought this passage was very interesting. Now, in this second part, there are a few words that I would like to emphasize or speak on so that we can get some clarity in this reading, okay? Now, as I read to you, "And the Lord said unto Simon, behold, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat." So the words I want to touch on in this passage is the word sift. That's the first word. The second word is when. The third word is converted. The next word is strengthen. And of course, verse 34, "I tell thee, Peter." So going back to the beginning, I would like to recap just so that we can walk into this next segment of this passage. Last week, I talked about Simon, the very first verse, or the 31st verse, I should say. I was trying to explain to everyone that, hold on a second, that Jesus never did anything, or let's say everything he did had intent, had purpose. There was nothing that he said or done was just for the sake of happenstance. I mean, just to have words come out of his mouth. No, there was always intent and purpose when he was either speaking to someone or doing something within the realm or the area that he was at, whether it was a miracle, whether it was speaking to the Pharisees, Sadducees, whether it was speaking to individuals about whatever had to be addressed. So making that perfectly clear, there was nothing he said. Everything he said had intent. Everything he said had intent. So some may say, well, in verse 31, he said Simon. Okay, that's a name. That was his name. His mother and his father gave him that name, Simon. But we know that in, I think it's John 1:42, when Andrew brought Jesus to Simon, when Jesus met Simon, he didn't call him Simon. He called him Cephas, which is to be interpreted rock. He didn't call him Peter. He called him Cephas. Why? Because Jesus was letting him know, "I'm calling you for a service." But Peter, or Simon at that time, did not understand Christ's intentions or his words or what he was saying. He just called him rock. But now in Matthew 16, 16, when Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter or Simon responded by saying, thou art the Christ, son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood did not, you know, reveal that to you, but was the Holy Spirit. So that let him know when Jesus called him Peter, he was going to walk into his commission, his fulfillment, that which he was going to be further on, moving forward. And you'll know that in the book of Acts, chapter 1, 2, and 3, and thereafter. So we know that he was called and then he was commissioned. But it goes back to, again, the name. What's in the name? So I thought this was an interesting read to this point. When he said, Simon, Simon, behold, trying to get his attention, bring him back to reality, because at this table, there was, the Bible reads in verse 24, that was, there was strife. There was people going back and forth, arguing about who was what and what is when and where is why. So Jesus had to bring everything back to where it needed to be. But he also brought them, brought something to their attention that they were not aware of. When he said, Simon, Simon, he said, behold, Satan. It's sometimes it's at your weakest point or at the hour of a day where things are just frustrating you, compounding issues one after another. The enemy's just coming in as a flood. It's just trying to mess up your day, your time, your moment, whether it's family, a job, or whatever. The enemy's trying to come in and catch you at your weakest point. And here the disciples, were they at their weakest point? They were at a point where they were not focused on what was at the table, where Jesus was trying to make them understand that I'm going to be not only betrayed, I'm going to also be denied, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to suffer the cross, I'm going to drink this cup. He was trying to let them know, but they were so into themselves that they could not see the forest for the tree. But here in this instant, when Jesus got Simon's attention, he said, the devil, Satan, wants to sift you as wheat. Now, I thought that was an interesting word. Now, the word sift in this context. Now, I know we have in our audience and on Zoom people who, thank you, people who have an understanding for the word sift. Now, it's not referring to the kitchen sifting, is referring to another sifting. The sifting that Satan was trying to bring was a sifting that would cause destruction. You see, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So the sifting that that was being stated by Jesus in this scripture was a sifting of, I'm going to destroy them. Now, when Jesus said he wants to sift you, now you hear the word you involved here. He wasn't speaking singularly. He was speaking plurally. In other words, he don't want to get just to you, Simon. He wants to get to the other 10 because Judas has already left. He's going to do his thing now. So there were 11 disciples at the table. So when Jesus said he wants to sift you, he wants to sift all of you. He wants to destroy everything that you believed, everything that you heard, everything that you did, everything that you honored, everything that you give God praise for in your life. Satan wants to take it from you, destroy you, every piece, everything that you've known. He wants to destroy you. He wants to remove you from the face of this planet if he could, just to take away your testimony, just to take away everything that God has blessed you with, your voice, your time, your talent, your gift, everything that he has given you throughout your worship, your time, and your fellowship with him. He wants to just sift your life and just take everything and annihilate you, just destroy you one piece at a time. That's what this word sift meant. To destroy you, to eliminate you, to take you out of the equation as if you never mattered or you never existed. That was Satan's plan. But see, God has a plan too. And I love this here. I brought a prop with me. But I want to talk about another sifting. I want to talk about the sifting that God is trying to do. Now, Satan wants to destroy you, eliminate everything about you, your good, your bad, whatever he could just remove and not have any more significance. But see, if there's a God in heaven, as we heard, that sits high, it looks low. But there's a sifting that he wants to do in your life. This is a sieve right here. My mother would use this when she would bake a cake and put flour in or whatever needs to be strained or whatever the case may be. Now, when you get saved and God calls you from the life you once lived, and he tries, or let's say he desires, not only to fill you with his love and his power and his grace, and more importantly, with his Holy Spirit, he puts you through a sieve. He begins to sift you, if you will, because everything that you bring into the table, he can't use. He cannot use a sorrow. So he pours your life into the sieve.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
He pours it in there. And now that he has you in the sieve, everything that was not intended for him to use, he begins to shake it. And as all the things that he wants to use falls into the bowl or falls onto the surface where he's sifting you. He's sifting all the sorrow and all the grief and all the pain and heartache, all the things that tripped you up, made you fall, almost because you became desolate. He began to sift all of that out. See, he can't use everything that's in you, but he wants to make sure all the things that he can use will fall to the place where he can use you. So he's sifting out the pain. He's sifting out the bad memories. He's sifting out the sorrow and the grief and the pain. He's sifting out disease, hurt, trials, and tribulation. He's sifting out all the things that he cannot use and you don't need anymore. But he's sifting. He's making sure that by the time the sifting is done, everything that had to be removed was removed, and he discards it. He throws it away. Now he has a product in the bowl or on the surface that he can mold and make and use exactly to what his intentions
That's
are.
That's good. That's good. That's good, Elder.
That you may walk as he would want you to walk, as you would talk as he would want you to talk. So now we see the old man is now gradually being removed, gradually being taken out of the picture, gradually being into a place where he, this old man has no effect, or this old nature, I should say, has no more effect or influence in your life. So now we continue to read and we see that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Now, here's another word that I thought was interesting in this read. He said, it reads here, and when thou art converted. I want to just talk about this one word that just jumped out at me, if you will. This one word that caught my attention. This one word that made me stop and think about where I am and who I am and what I am. He said, when. Now, this word is not just a word thrown in for sentence structure. Jesus was saying, this is my command. This is my future. This is my promise that when you come out of this. He has not yet denied him, okay? That's further down. He has not yet gone through the suffering of being separated from Christ at this time. But Christ was letting him know when you finally get to a point where you have suffered, or you are suffering, or you are going through something. He said, when I bring you out of this. That means many are the afflictions of the righteous, But God delivers us out of them. See, you might go through some things right now. You might be in a situation of sorrow. You might be suffering pain and sorrow. You might be going through a sickness. But he said, when you come out, that means I'm going to bring you out of your suffering. I'm going to bring you out of your trial. I'm going to bring you out of your sorrow. I'm going to bring you out of your grief. I'm going to bring you out of the pain. I'm going to bring you out. Things that seems to cause you to drift to the left and to the right. He said, I'm going to bring you out. You will come out. Even though the enemy comes in like a flood, God said he will lift up a standard. You will come out. He said, when? That means there is an inevitable exit. That means you're going to come out of this. That's what you're getting ready to go through. Are you with me today, church? So he said, when? I like that word. That lets me know, in spite of how dark the night may be, how strong the winds may be blowing, how deep the valley may be, or how high the mountain may be. He said, when? That means I'm going to come out. I'm going to cross that valley. I'm going to climb and conquer that mountain. Because he said, when? That means he has promised me. He has promised me that no weapons formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. He's let me know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I know that I'm going to come out of this situation that I'm in. Because he said, when? Not if, but when. I like that. I like that. Knowing that whatever I'm going through, He has me by my hand. Hallelujah. So whatever you're going through, he said, when? That means you're coming out. But let me continue so that you may understand why I'm using this word when. He said, when thou art converted. He said, in other words, when thou art converted. Now, I want to stop here again, if you don't mind. We see another word that might seem challenging. Now, when you hear the word converted, immediately one would think that you're being converted from an unsaved situation to a saved situation. As you would read in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, when Peter was speaking to the people that were there, he was letting them know that if you repent and be converted and change. He's talking about from an unsaved state to being in a saved state, a life of Christ, right? But Jesus was not saying that to Peter. He said, when thou art converted, see, you have to realize that when Jesus met Simon, he was Simon. He was of the old nature. He had not yet been converted. He had not yet followed after Christ to the point where his whole life changed. His attitude changed. His desire changed. Everything about Simon changed. Because if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find that in the midst of the reading, he was oftentimes called Simon, and he was oftentimes called Peter. And sometimes he was called Simon and Peter at the same time. What did that mean? That means that he was still transitioning, if you will. He was changing from the old nature into a better nature. He was changing from a former nature to a better nature. He was changing from former things to greater things. Because he called him, when he called him Cephas, and then when he called him Peter, that was a commission on his life. So he was changing from Simon to Peter. So by the time he got to the supper, by the time he got to this table, and by the time Jesus said to him, Simon, he realized, wait a minute. I don't need to speak to the old nature anymore, which was Simon. He knew that he was transitioning to the new nature. So in this position, when he said, when thou art converted, he was not calling from an unsaved state to a saved position. He was saying, no, you're going to fall because Satan wants to come in and wreck your life. You're going to have this situation come against you, and it's going to try you, it's going to test you, and it's going to cause you to run, flee, and be afraid. But Jesus was saying, in spite of your struggle, in spite of your hardship, in spite of your pain, in spite of your sorrow, in spite of your grief, and all the things that you might go through in this life, he said, when you are converted, in other words, when you come back to the former things, when you come back to the promise, when you come back to when he called you, and he called you his son, his daughter, when you come back, and remind yourself, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, God has delivered me, God has saved me, God has raised me, God has picked me up. That's what he was saying. When you come back to those things that you once knew where I brought you from, he was saved. He was saved. Hallelujah. So he said, when thou art converted, in other words, when you remind yourself, even through your suffering, I'm still your Lord and your Savior. When you come back to realizing and remembering, I have delivered you, I have brought you from the shackles of sin and death. When you remember these things, then you can lift both hands and say, Lord, I thank you. You can lift both hands and say, Lord, I praise you for keeping me in the storm. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He has kept you and brought you through. He has converted. You are now back into his arms. But let me continue. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Just a minute. So, but I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, he said, strengthen thy brothers. That's powerful. I got to read this. When he said, strengthen thy brother, Jesus is not talking about your strength, your emotional strength. Sometimes we can get swept away in our emotions. I'm not saying it's wrong. But he was talking about the strength that he has provided for you in his word, that he has given you through his Holy Spirit, that when you have reached that place, that pinnacle, that point in your life, that all things and everything that you have in your life, God did it. And then your testimony is such to where when people hear you speak and talk and how you walk and everything about you magnifies the glory of God. That's the strength he is saying that you need to have, not only to strengthen your brothers, but to also to be strong within yourself. So because we have to realize Psalms 26, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When you come out of these valleys, when you come out of these low points, when you come out and the strength that he gives you to endure, that's the strength he's talking about. Then you can strengthen your brother. Then you can strengthen your sister. Then your testimony can be so powerful to the point where all they see and hear is Christ in your life. That's the strength he's talking about. I'm getting ready to close. So what I like about this scripture, to sum it up, is that we see in verse 31, Jesus saying to Simon, this is what's going to happen to you if you're not careful, if you're not watchful. This is what's going to happen to you if you're not prayed up. This is what's going to happen to you if you're not concerning yourself with the godly things as opposed to the worldly things. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't keep your mind stayed on me. So that takes us down to verse 34. Now, I love how Jesus always reminds us who we are, who he called us to be, and what he called us for. Because see, in verse 31, he was Simon, the old nature that he was trying to address because of the confusion at the table. But see, in verse 34, Jesus said, even before he denied him, even before he ran away, even before he ran away from everything that he knew that was Christ, he wanted to separate himself from something that he didn't want to experience that Christ was going to endure. But I love the love of Christ that he continues to show us and give us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of the times we sometimes drop the ball, if you will. He turned and looked at him and said, Peter. Now, isn't that something how that he called him Peter this time? Why didn't he call him Peter in verse 31? Because he was addressing another situation, another personality, another nature, another situation that basically he had to remove. He said, Simon. But why couldn't he have called him Peter, Peter? Because he wasn't ready for that. He was trying to address that old nature that was rising up at the table. But he said in verse 34, he said, Peter. Again, he was reminding Simon, in spite of what you're getting ready to do. Now, see, you may find yourself in a controversial moment to where you may believe or not believe, that you may confess or not confess, that you may follow or not follow, that you may do or not do, that you may not be visible in your Christian walk or visible in your Christian conversation. You may not be visible to let someone see this, that you are the salt of the earth and that you are light unto the earth. You may be invisible to some, but here was Christ was trying to say to Peter. He said, see, even though you are at this place right now, not understanding what's going to befall you, what's going to happen to you, even though you're going to deny me three times and you're going to hear a cockcrow, I'm still reminding you that I called you for a commission. I called you for a work. I called you for a time. I called you for a service. I called you to fulfill the work that I have given you to do. He was reminding him, in spite of your attitude, in spite of your nature that you're talking right now, I'm still calling you Peter. I'm still calling you the rock. I'm still calling you the person that you will be in the book of Acts. I'm still calling you for a service in spite of yourself. In spite of your weakness, in spite of your sorrow, in spite of your shame, in spite of your sins, in spite of everything you feel you might be tripped over and you might fall to, he said, I'm reminding you who you are. You're Peter. You're Peter, the rock that everybody's going to be standing on. Is that all right? Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
He changed some names. He changed Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, Hosea to Joshua, Solomon to Jedediah, and Joseph to Zephaniah, Mattaniah to Zedaniah, I think that was it, and Simon to Peter. So you might be wondering, well, my name hasn't been changed. What's in the name? What's really in the name? When I was born, my father decided to call me Todd. I struggled with that for a long time. But he called me Todd. This is my natural birth. But when I became born again, glory to God, Christ changed my name. Well, you may ask, well, what name did he change you? Or what name did he give you? I'm glad you asked. Now, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and he changed my steps, he changed my walk, and he changed my talk, he also said to me, I'm going to call you redeemed. That's in Ephesians 1. And I said, oh, yeah, no, I'm not finished. I'm going to call you justified in Romans 5:1. He said, no, I'm not done with you. I'm going to call you righteous in Romans 3:22. And you know, I'm not finished with you, Todd. I'm gonna call you blessed. Yeah. In Psalms 32:1. He said, I'm not finished with you. I'm gonna call you new creation in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, no, I'm not done with you. He said, I'm gonna call you born again in 1 Peter 1:21. He said, no, I'm not done, Todd. He said, I'm gonna call you blood washed in 1 Corinthians 6:11. He said, I'm not done with you. He said, I'm gonna call you Holy Ghost filled in Ephesians 1:13. He said, no, I'm not done with you, Todd. He said, I'm gonna call you forgiven in 1 John 1:9. I got some more names. He said, I'm gonna call you purified in 1 John 1:7. He said, I got one more name for you. I'm gonna call you reconciled in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 24.
Yeah.
So what's in the name? I just told you. Your name has been changed. Everything about you has been changed. What's in the name? God bless you.
Oh, wow.